Well, today is Palm Sunday, and we usually kind of recognize that, this is the Sunday that Jesus came in riding on a donkey to proclaim himself as king. They were looking for a king, a worldly king, but Jesus was coming to be a king, to be a spiritual king. He wanted to do something when he came into this world. He wanted to show us the way to the Father. He wanted to show us how we can have a right standing with him. He wanted to show us that we can be free from the things in this life that bind us and overwhelm us. He wanted to show us that there's something greater coming. And when he came in, it was like he was announcing that I've came in to set the captives free. And you know, and sometimes you guys come in here and you guys are carrying a lot of baggage. And there's a lot of weight, and you know who you are, and you know that feeling that you come in every single time, or maybe even when you go out, you walk away with it. I just want you to know a truth this morning, that this morning you don't have to walk out of here with any more weight. You can be freed. You know that thing that's haunted you for the last 10, 20 years that you've been trying to deal with? Yes, you can be freed from that. And that's what we're hoping this morning, that you leave here with a burden that has been laid at the foot of Christ. That you leave here, experience the freedom and the hope that he offers us when we come to him, and it becomes alive inside of us. The scripture we're going to look at is in Isaiah chapter 53. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, that's where we're going to be heading. But in that Isaiah, it says, by his wounds were healed, or some versions say by his stripes were healed. And you know, in that tense, the verb tense in that, it's a past tense that it actually uses in that scripture, that in the past something has already been done. By his wounds we've been healed, meaning that the healing that we're looking for, the thing that we need to lift the weight, it's already been done for us. The victory has been completed. And when Christ comes in and he lays his life down, it's a complete sacrifice. It's sufficient for everything that we need. And if you remember on the cross, he even said, it's finished. And in other words, he's saying it's settled. And for us to walk into freedom, we have to understand some things. And we have to marvel at the cross. First off, we have to understand that we're all sinners, aren't we? And sin leads to death. We all are plagued by this. And when we sin, we hurt other people. We destroy other people by our actions, by our words. Other people sometimes, by their sin, they hurt us. And they cause damage. But God is saying this morning that it's possible for you to be free from all of those hurts, all the guilt, all the shame, all the brokenness, and all the struggles and all the weight that you carry. And the beauty of this morning would be as if all of our eyes were opened to the fullness of the sacrifice. And we can't really be healed until we understand a couple of things. First of all, when he says, by my wounds you're healed, a lot of people take this out of context and they think that that's a physical healing. They think that, okay, if I just claim by his wounds I'm healed, my hand's going to be better, my leg's going to get fixed. And yeah, he can heal, but this is not what the scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about a deep spiritual healing of a broken heart, a broken soul that can be healed by the power of what he's done. And once we understand that freedom, and once we understand not just the power of the cross, but what Christ did on the way to the cross. And I think sometimes we just need to stop and we need to stare at this and what happened. Because I think so often we just want to gloss over it and get to the resurrection. But it's because of his complete sacrifice and everything that he did is that you and I have the ability to be free. Some of you came to the prayer room that we had for the 36 hours of prayer. It was an amazing experience for you, and I know. Because maybe you see on the stage here, there's all kinds of little pieces of broken chains. Some of you took a bolt cutter and said, I'm turning you this over to you, Christ. It's broken. No longer does the sin have to bind me. No more does lust have to rule in my heart. No more does shame. And they're laying here. And you know what I know? He's faithful because you brought it to him. You're freed from it. But you have to come alive to it. You have to start walking in it. And as we start to look at what Christ has done, we have to understand the beauty of the cross. The fact is you've been hurt, right? Somebody's done something to you. Some of you came in here this morning, somebody abandoned you. Maybe you had a friend Maybe you've had a spouse. Maybe it's been a parent, but they've abandoned you, and you come in here with hurt, and you come in here with pain, and you just don't know what to do with it. And Jesus says at the cross, he took that for you. He says, bring it to me. Some of you came in here, and you're just so overwhelmed because of you have addictions, and you don't know how to get rid of them. And Jesus says through the cross, I have broke the chain that addiction has on you, but you got to bring it to me. And you got to release it, and you got to start living in it. Some of you came in, and you have this heavy weight. You hate yourself. You hate yourself for what you've done. You hate yourself for what you've said. Or maybe you don't like the way that you look, and you just come in just with this heavy weight. And in our culture, there's a lot of young kids, and it's sad and it's tragic that they hate themselves so much, or they're hurt so bad they don't know what to do with the hurt, so they start to cut themselves. They want to leave a mark. They want to remember, and they think that there's going to be a release from the pain when they cut themselves. I just want you to know what you're feeling is hurt. You're feeling the pain of this world. And it's not in cutting yourself. It's not in getting even with people. It's not getting anger that you're going to be healed. It's by his wounds. It's by recognizing the fullness of this, that hurt can be brought here. Here's a little definition that I have. It says, every wrong that we have done and every wrong that has been done to us. Have you ever been wronged? Have you ever been hurt? Have you hurt somebody? What do you do with all that hurt? What do you do with all that pain? A lot of people do nothing with it. A lot of people try to press it down and try to control it themselves, but then what happens is this residual happens. You get angry. You're mad, and you don't even know why you're mad. You hate people, and you don't even know why you hate people. You hate yourself, and you don't even know why, because you haven't dealt with the hurt. So the definition is, every wrong that we have done and every wrong that has been done to us has been swallowed up in every right that Jesus has done and in every wrong that has been done to him. Everything on the cross that was done to him, meaning he paid for it all. All the wrongs that have been done to you, he's paid for. Maybe you say, but I've been abused, and you don't know what that's like. People have been abused in different ways. But I'm just telling you, in the cross, when you bring it here, Jesus says, I understand it. And I died to give you life. And Jesus says, I can be trusted. You can come and you can count on me because I've experienced all these things that you've experienced. And as we open up the scripture this morning, hopefully it will come into our hearts, the victory that Jesus won. That we'll see that this complete sacrifice is enough for whatever you're struggling with. It's enough. It's more than enough. And it starts out in Isaiah chapter 1. And I'm going to kind of go through this fairly quick. There's a list, and you're going to get overwhelmed by the list. And if you want to write it down, you can write it down. But there's something inside of us. There's a voice that every time we try to break free, there's a voice that keeps coming at us, telling us you're not worthy. You're not free from this. And that voice I have to identify is of our enemy in this world. And the hand of God through the power of the cross has come against that voice. And that voice needs to be squashed. And that's how healing starts. And I know healing is a long process. But it begins when we start to do something. We start to marvel at the sacrifice. We start to marvel at what he did before he went to the cross. And all of a sudden our hearts start to soften and humble. And healing can come in. And when we start to marvel at it, and we linger at this, and we stare at this, the more healing that begins in our hearts. So the first thing that we see is Jesus was made ordinary in his humanity. And it starts in verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He, and it's Jesus, had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And then later in verse 3, it says this. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and was esteemed not. You know, the first thing that we really kind of reflect on is that Christ was made ordinary in his humanity. In other words, you couldn't put Jesus in a lineup of people and put him on a stage, and you couldn't go down and go, this one's Jesus. Because we start looking at that lineup, we go, well, that one's too short, this one's too bald, this one's too fat, this one, his hair is too long, and we wouldn't be able to identify him in a lineup because he was ordinary. And there's healing for a lot of you this morning because you think you're ordinary. And you keep walking around with this weight and this feeling that you don't measure up, or you don't look like somebody, or you don't look like what our world standard is. And our world standard is out of whack. That's all I got to say. That's not the standard. They look at this outward thing. But Jesus here says that he was ordinary in his humanity. There's nothing in his appearance that would attract us to him. I mean, in Sunday school, what do you walk into a Sunday school class and find? A picture of Jesus, usually kind of in a wooden frame with gold metallic paint around it. The one I remember walking into is Jesus has his arms like this, and he's smiling. He's got long, flowing, beautiful hair. He's got a beard that is perfectly groomed, and may I remind you, they didn't have beard trimmers back then. And his eyes just are like piercing blue that loves you, and there's tender and love, but also firm and strong. And he's kind of almost a pale white even. That's not the image of Christ. Here it says that there's no beauty in him that anybody would look at him. They wouldn't pick him out and say, he's the one. And maybe this morning you can just find healing in the fact that what made Jesus special was not his looks, but what was on the inside, his divinity. Because there was nothing ordinary about his divinity. And when God looks at you, he doesn't measure you by a worldly standard. Our worldly standard says it's outside. Our world says that you go get Botox and look really freaky by getting plastic surgeries to make yourself look better, right? I don't think you look better when that happens. You look surprised. Jesus says it's the inside of us that matters. When God sees a heart that is bent towards him, he sees beauty. He sees somebody that's special and unique. And he goes, you're mine. So maybe you can just have some healing and stop feeling like you got to look like somebody else to be loved. Because God made you and crafted you just the way you are. And he says, stop worrying about the outside. Worry about the inside. Can you imagine if we focused on that as much as we focus on our exterior, what different we would be? How different we would look to people? Second thing that we see. Jesus was despised and he was rejected. It says in verse 3 of 53, he was despised and rejected by men. People, you're like thinking, well, you're talking on Palm Sunday, and people were praising him, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, and they're worshiping him, right? But that wasn't his life. People despised him. People told him that he didn't measure up. People told him he was not good enough. I mean, they looked at him and kind of laughed and said, you think you're the one? You think you're the Messiah? You don't look like a Messiah to me. Yeah, I know you just healed somebody. I know you just raised the dead, but you still don't look like a Messiah. And Jesus is like going, I created you. I created this world. How dare you say that? But man despised him. They rejected him because of who he was. Maybe you had to deal with that. Maybe somebody's rejected you. Maybe somebody's despised you, and you've been just carrying that around. And Jesus at the cross is going, bring it to me. Shed it here. Because I experienced it. I overcame it. And then it's in verse 3 it says, he was despised and rejected by men. And then it says he was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. So the third thing that we can kind of see just in these short verses is that he was a man that was filled with sorrow and suffering. I mean, I know some of your lives have been difficult. I know some of you are going through some very difficult things, and there's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of hurt in there. And this tells us that Jesus was filled with sorrow, that and suffering. That was his life was defined by that. He's experienced sorrow at a level that you and I won't experience it. Every time he looked out at his creation, his heart was breaking. Every time he saw the prostitute and he saw nobody was caring for her. Every time that he would see the widow and the widow was not being cared for, his heart was breaking. He was suffering. Every time he saw the orphan not being cared for, every time he saw somebody that was starving, his heart was breaking. He was suffering. He saw his creation in a condition that is broken. And he's just very, very heavy, but he was not depressed. He still had joy. And Jesus says to you, maybe you're a person that's been troubled with sorrow and your life has been just so overwhelming. He says, come to me. I can take the weight of it and I can help you through it because I've experienced all the sorrow that this world has to offer. And you can relate to him because he is a God that understands you. Fourth thing that we kind of see is he was constantly undervalued. And in verse 3, it says, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. I mean, his brothers and sisters didn't even value him. They wanted him to shut up. They didn't want him to proclaim that he was the Messiah. And they're like, go back home. We don't want you around us. Everywhere he went, he said that you don't measure up. And maybe somebody's been in your past telling you, you don't measure up. Jesus says, you measure up. You are valued by God because of what happened. You are now, if you have accepted this work, you now are a son and a daughter of God. You are valued. You are valued so much that I went through a lot of pain and I experienced everything that this world has to offer. And by my wounds, you're healed. So then the fifth thing that we see, he was touched by grief and sorrow. It says, surely he took up on our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He took the weight of brokenness, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. So Jesus, he felt our sorrow. He was touched by our sorrow. The anguish that we feel, the pain that we feel, the guilt that we feel, the abuse that we feel, he was touched by it. When he was on the cross, he felt everything that you were feeling, and it touched him. The sixth thing that we see, Jesus was afflicted. He was stricken with our spiritual disease. The sin that you and I struggle with was placed on him. He became our defiled is the word that they would use in the Old Testament because of us. The seventh thing that we see, Jesus is pierced. He was pierced. And if you remember the crucifixion, what happened? They laid him down on a cross. They took nails and they pierced his skin. Both hands through both sides, both feet pierced. Excruciating pain, a piercing that is like a pain that we've never experienced before. And you may even remember the Roman guard took a spear, and it says that he pierced Christ. Because if you remember when Christ was hanging on the cross, paying for our sins, he died because of the weight of our sins crushed him. And the Roman soldiers, when they came to him, they were going to break his legs because what they would do is they would break the legs of the people that were being crucified so that way that they couldn't push themselves up with their legs just to take another breath, because what would happen is by breaking the legs, they would suffocate and they would die quicker. Why was Jesus' legs not broken? Because the prophecy said that not a bone will be broken, but he is pierced. And when they pierced him, blood and water came out, signifying he's dead. The eighth thing that we can see, he was crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. The wrath of God when Christ was hanging on the cross, the wrath that you and I deserve because of our actions, because of us not living up to the standard of God, was placed on him, the full weight of it, and it says it did something. It crushed him. You see, they didn't have to break his legs because of the weight of our sin. Crushed him and suffocated him. The ninth thing that we can see, he was punished. Verse 5, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The punishment that you deserved, the punishment that I deserved, was done on the cross. For our sins, the punishment that you and I should be bearing at the end because of Christ, we're free from it. The tenth thing that we see says he was wounded. It says, and by his wounds we are healed. And some translations say by his stripes we're healed. You may remember what happened as Christ was on his way to the cross. He was put on trial, falsely accused, betrayed, sentenced to be beaten, to be whipped 39 times. 39 times, you probably remember, they had to stop there because the Roman Empire knew how to perfect torture and pain. And they figured out that if they would go over 39 lashings, the guy would probably die. They went 45, definitely dead. 50, he's the goner. So they said, you're sentenced to 39 lashes. And you might remember that those whips that they used, they had stones in them that were sharp, glass, metal. And they were designed to shred skin. He was led, was tied down, stripped naked, helpless. And a Roman soldier began to whip him. With every whip, it would go around his back and probably around his ribs. And every time they would pull him back, those sharp objects would sink into the flesh and would just rip it out. That's the pain that he was feeling. He says, by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we experience freedom. We get rid of guilt by his wounds because of he was willing to lay himself out helpless and to be shredded for us. Because he understood that when he does this one and final act, it will be finished. Why would he do this? Because he knew that your life and my life was on the line. He knew that your freedom and my freedom was on the line. And if he didn't take this excruciating walk, we would never find the freedom and the hope that he offers. The 11th thing, he became sin. He says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. He became sin. He was sinless. He was perfect. He was spotless. He took it on. He became it. You say you can't overcome that sin. He overcame it on the cross. It's already been done. The victory's been done in the past already. It's time to step up and walk into the victory. And accept the victory. And accept that those chains have been broken. He says, I became sin. And the 12th thing that we can see, he was oppressed. He was oppressed for us. And this oppression is kind of like, has the meaning that a payment was taken from him or withdrawn out of him. Every time he was being whipped, a payment was being extracted. Every time the nail was being beaten and the pain, a payment was being extracted. And the payment was up for us. 13th thing that we can see, he was slaughtered. So it says his oppression, he was oppressed in verse 7, oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Jesus stood there. No argument. No words of saying, I'm innocent. I didn't do these crimes. I am the Son of God. Silence. Why was he silent? Because he knew that if he didn't do this, we would not be healed. And he says it's more important for us to be healed because he loves you and he wants you to experience freedom. So he keeps his mouth silent. 14th thing, he was judged by oppression and judgment. He was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? He was judged. All the judgment that you and I were supposed to get, he got. 15th thing, you're like, okay, come on, that's enough, Kelly. We're not done yet. We're not at the end of the chapter. Why is it important? We have to understand what Christ did. We have to understand what he experienced for us so that way we can actually be healed and we can be birthed into the new life that he keeps promising. We can have the freedom. We can have the healing that we've been desiring. We have to understand it. We have to stop and we have to stare at this and linger at it, because I don't want you to get to Good Friday and walk in on Good Friday and go, woo, okay, he died, and then Sunday he rose. That's it. That's not enough. That's not the full experience of the cross. That's not what his full sacrifice did. Yes, your sins are taken away. Yes, you're forgiven. But he said, I want to set you free. Once and for all, he said, it's finished. It's settled. 15th thing, he was taken. Verse 8, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? He was abducted. He was kidnapped. 16th thing, he was cut off. Verse 8 says, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. For our sins, he was cut off. He was put to death for us. 17th thing, he was killed. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. The 18th thing that he did, he became guilty. You and I, you know, we want to carry guilt. We kind of wear it as a badge. Jesus said on the cross, I became your guilt offering. You're no longer guilty when you confess it to him. He says, walk in my freedom. And this is what it says. He says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. You've been walking around with guilt? It's been taken care of. It's done. It's been settled. It's finished. You're free. The 19th thing, he was tormented. He was tormented. Verse 11, it says, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light and be satisfied. Jesus' soul suffered. He went down into the darkness and experienced the darkness that you and I should have experienced. He went down into the darkness where the voices and the demons are accusing and saying that you're not worthy, you're a sinner, you're unclean. He went down and heard those voices and was tormented in his soul. And then he burst forth from the grave and silenced those voices. He was tormented on our behalf. I mean, I just think it's amazing. It wasn't enough for him to be ordinary. It wasn't enough for him just to be despised. It wasn't enough for him to be rejected. It wasn't enough for him just to know your sorrow and my sorrow. It wasn't enough just for him to be touched by our grief and to carry our grief. It wasn't enough for him to be defiled. It wasn't enough for him to be pierced. It wasn't enough for him to be whipped. It wasn't enough for him to be betrayed, falsely accused, forsaken, guilty. It wasn't enough for him to be killed. He was tormented for us so we could experience the freedom. Jesus took our worst and gave us his best to free us. And you know what's humbling? When we stare at that. When we look at what he's done. We look at the fullness of from his walk to the cross to his death on the cross. And we see the fullness of the sacrifice. And we start walking in the fullness and accept that in and understand that you are forgiven. You are free of anger. You are free of drug addiction because of what he has done here on the cross. Do you know what else is very humbling? Do you know who put him here? You and me. We placed him here because of our sin, because of our wrongdoings, because of us hurting people. Because of us hurting ourselves, we've put him there. It's humbling to think about that. And hopefully as you come to Good Friday, you'll be humbled and moved, but also healed. Because the sacrifice was a complete sacrifice. And the 20th thing, you're like, 20 things? You got to be kidding me. There's more. He interceded for us. verse 11, it says, after the suffering of the soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. And then verse 12 says, therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will be divided the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Says the beauty of the cross is this, that Jesus said, I intercede for you. I come before the Father, and I tell them that you're free. So be free. And you're saying, wait, they can't go free. You don't know what this person has done. You don't know what I've done. You don't understand, Kelly, what I've done. It's so wicked. I hate myself for doing it. Jesus would say to you, you're free. Well, you don't know what he's done. You don't know how much pride he has. I mean, he's such a proud person. He's never asked anybody for anything. He's proud. He can't be free. And Jesus would say, you're free. Oh, but they struggle with drug addiction. I mean, they've used up all of the money and they've devastated their family and they're destroying people around them because of their actions. And Jesus would go, they're free. Oh, but you know, she committed adultery. She can't go free. She's got to pay. And Jesus would go, they're free. And he'd say to you, that anger, that hurt, free him. Free it. And Jesus, I can just imagine a conversation with God and Jesus going on. God's looking out and says, how can a people like this, who do all these things and create all this hurt and all this pain and do all these things, how can we let them go free? And Jesus would just look at his Father and go, look at my back. Look at my wounds. Because of my wounds, they are healed. Because of my wounds, they can experience freedom. Because of my wounds, they can have healing in their depths of their heart. Because of my wounds, the abuse that somebody has done to them can be forgiven and can be healed. Because of this person's actions that they hurt somebody, they can experience restoration. Because of they're free by my wounds. And God says, let them come to me. So they can experience freedom. So they can experience this hope. So they can get rid of the burdens. Jesus said, I've come to set the captive free. I've come, and he says, the Son has set you free. And if the Son has set you free, you're free what? Indeed. In other words, it's a complete sacrifice. And maybe you're here this morning and something happened to you. Somebody did something to you. They've abandoned you. They've hurt you. They've caused pain. They've said harsh words. But you want me to do this. You want to tell me your story. You want to tell me how bad you feel. You want to tell me everything that's happened to you. Can I just say, can you take a look? Can you take a look at what happened to Jesus? But I want them to pay for what they did to me or what they didn't do. That's vengeance. God says vengeance is his. He says we bring it to the cross. And we leave it. So anger doesn't consume you. So hate doesn't consume you. So lying doesn't consume you. He says, leave it. Leave it here. And all you and I need to do is say the two hardest words. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We just need to bring all that weight and all that luggage and slap it right down at the cross and just bow down and be humbled by what he has done and say, I trust you. Your sacrifice is more than enough. What you experienced is more than I've experienced. And I trust that you're going to bring healing here. Just by my wounds, you are healed. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. And God, I would ask that you'd help us to experience the fullness of what Christ has done. Not just his death and resurrection, but him coming in to bring healing to the hurting heart, to bring healing to the person that feels unworthy. to bring healing to the person that hates themselves for what they've done. That you came to bring complete healing. And at the cross, you said this, that it's finished, it's settled, the debt is done. God, help us experience that type of freedom that you're asking and you're wanting to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.